Imagine you're just reading a dense technical article.
Right.
You're scrolling along and you double-click your mouse and suddenly,
A pixel art crab appears.
exactly, a pixel art crab appears, shoots a machine gun, and the actual text on the page just shatters. It bounces around the screen like you dropped a handful of marbles onto a tile floor.
It's so chaotic.
It really is.
Yeah.
So what does it actually take to build that? Welcome to today's deep dive. We're exploring a brilliant blog post titled How We Built a Machine Gun Crab Easter Egg into Our Portfolio.
Such a great title.
Right. And our mission today is to uncover how a developer took static, boring web page text and transformed it into a highly interactive physics playground. And they did this across two completely different site architectures in just 6 hours using an AI coding assistant.
Yeah, it's really an incredible case study in modern web capabilities. The spark for this whole thing was a friend sharing a JavaScript library called Pretext.
Oh yeah, the pretext demos.
Yeah. This library was rendering like 100,000 item masonry layouts at a buttery 120 frames per second. But the specific demo that ignited this whole project was one where text characters exploded into physics particles and literally float around these animated
Which
dragons.
is just ridiculously cool. So let me set the scene for you. The developer decides, okay, I'm going to try this on my main portfolio site, which is at zyx.xyz. But this isn't your standard website.
No, not at all.
It's built as a pure vanilla JS macOS terminal emulator. Like when you visit, it looks and acts exactly like a command line interface.
And that architectural choice is vital here. Because it's a terminal emulator, the text isn't just content sitting inside like a fancy design layout.
Right.
The text is the entire user interface. You just have this single scrollable container with mono-spaced font, and that inherent simplicity is what let them execute their first major effect.
The tab switch explosion. Man, the moment I read about this effect, I was completely hooked. You're looking at this fake terminal, you clicked open a new tab, and instead of the text just, instantly swapping out like a normal web page.
Right, which is what you expect.
Yeah, but instead, every single visible character on the screen instantly becomes a physics particle and blasts outward from the exact point of your click.
And the underlying math driving that scatter effect relies on what's called an inverse square force.
Okay, so a real-world explosion, basically.
Yeah, exactly. For anyone familiar with physics engines, that concept is super standard. The force drops off exponentially the further a particle is from the epicenter. But the computation here isn't the force itself.
It's the sheer number of things it's acting on.
Right. The challenge is calculating that trajectory, along with gravity, air resistance, and rotation, for a potentially 5,000 individual character nodes all at once, without the browser completely locking up.
Wait, hold on. Finding text coordinates and applying some math shouldn't be that hard for a modern computer, right? I mean, we play massive 3D video games in our browsers now.
We do, yeah.
Why would asking a web page where some text is located cause it to just crash?
Well, it's because of how browsers actually render web pages. A browser doesn't naturally look at a paragraph and see like individual floating letters with X and Y coordinates. It sees one solid block. So if you tell the browser via JavaScript, "Hey, give me the exact pixel coordinates of every single character on this screen," it triggers this thing called layout thrashing.
Layout thrashing, that sounds bad.
It is. The browser literally has to recalculate the entire page's geometry for every single request. So
Oh.
doing that 5,000 times in a single frame, it's going to absolutely freeze the page.
So how do you get around that? If really, the document object model, the actual structure of the page,
Yeah.
if reading that 5,000 times crashes the system, how did they get the explosion to happen instantly?
So they implemented this hybrid measurement approach. Instead of asking the browser to measure every single character, they only measured the larger text nodes. They used a command called getBoundingClientRect.
Right.
It's a built-in browser function that essentially draws an invisible box around an element and tells you exactly where that box is on the screen.
Okay, let's unpack this. I want to make sure I'm visualizing this correctly. You draw a big box around a sentence, but you still need to know where the letter A is inside that specific sentence, right?
Yes. And that is where the terminal's design completely saves them, because the terminal uses a mono-space font, meaning every single letter, whether it's a skinny I or a wide W, takes up the exact same pixel width. Yeah. They didn't need to ask the browser for the individual character positions. They just did the math. They took the starting coordinate of the big box and just mathematically sliced it up into equal character widths.
Oh, that is incredibly clever. It's like trying to count a massive crowd at a stadium. Instead of walking around and asking all 5,000 people for their exact GPS coordinates. You just measure the bleachers.
Yes, exactly that.
You know exactly how wide each plastic seat is, so you can calculate where everyone is sitting without actually tapping any of them on the shoulder.
Spot on. The only time they ever had to ask the browser for specific character positions was for the really rare instances of text wrapping at the edge of the screen where, you know, that simple math kind of breaks down.
Right, because the line breaks.
Exactly. So by doing this, they dropped the expensive DOM reads from over 5,000 down to about 200.
Wow.
It's an optimization that lets the calculation happen faster than the human eye can even perceive.
Okay, so once the developer solved that layout thrashing issue, they essentially had this perfect empty canvas of floating text physics. But a physics engine is useless without an instigator.
Right, you need something to mess it all up.
Exactly. They needed an object to act as the catalyst for the chaos. And that introduces the absolute star of the show.
Claude, the machine gun crab.
Yes, Claude. They sourced this little guy from an open source repository called Claude Tank. It's a pixel art crab, specifically the mascot for the AI company Anthropic. But what's really fascinating here is how the crab actually moves.
Right, because these aren't GIF files or like embedded videos.
Nope. The animation is pure CSS keyframes.
Which is a fantastic performance choice, honestly. Instead of loading a heavy animation file, the code is literally just giving the browser geometric instructions. You know, like bob the body up 3 pixels, alternate the leg angles, swing the arms.
It's so efficient.
It is. It offloads the animation work directly to the browser's rendering engine, which is highly optimized for exactly that kind of thing.
And the interaction mechanics they layered on top of this CSS crab are just so deliberate. So if you're on the site, you double-click anywhere on the terminal, your normal mouse cursor hides, and Claude spawns right there.
And then as you move your mouse, the crab follows you.
Right. But it doesn't just snap to your cursor. There's this smooth, calculated lag. He kind of waddles to catch up with you, and he faces the full 360-degree direction of your movement.
And then the best part, you click and hold the mouse button.
Oh, yeah.
That initiates the particle emitter, which is the machine gun. Claude starts spraying these orange bullet particles in whatever direction he's facing, and the developer programmed this really aggressive ramp-up curve.
How fast are we talking?
Well, if you just click, it fires at 6 bullets a second. But if you hold it down longer, it accelerates all the way up to 40 bullets a second.
That's amazing.
And the spread of the bullets actually gets wider to simulate recoil.
I love that they thought about recoil. But what happens when those bullets actually hit the terminal text? You've got 40 particles a second colliding with thousands of character nodes.
So this is where we get into momentum transfer. When the engine detects a mathematical intersection between a bullet particle and a character's coordinates, it imparts a velocity impulse. It physically pushes the letter away.
Just blasts it.
Yep. And furthermore, the bullets don't just vanish when they hit the edge of your screen. They bounce off the walls. They're programmed to retain exactly 55% of their kinetic energy, so they ricochet back into the mix and scatter even more text.
It's completely mesmerizing. But I mean, obviously, you can't leave a web page as a permanent scrambled mess of letters. You still need people to actually read your portfolio.
Right. So to solve that, they implemented spring physics with damping.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, every single character has a saved home position, those coordinates we calculated earlier. Once the velocity from the bullets wears off, the characters are physically pulled back to their home coordinates by simulated spring tension.
Oh, so they snap back.
They do, but they kind of oscillate around their home positions first, wobbling back and forth until mathematical friction slows them down, and they just settle naturally back into readable text.
And all of this, the 40 bullets a second, the ricochets, the thousands of oscillating letters, it runs at a buttery 60 frames per second.
So smooth.
And the secret there is that once you double click, the text is extracted from the DOM entirely. It's drawn onto a transparent HTML canvas element that's overlaying the site. So the browser is no longer rendering HTML text at all.
No, it's basically rendering a high-speed 2D video game.
Exactly.
What's fascinating here is that the human developer didn't have to spend weeks tuning these physics. They just had to envision the chaos and let the AI handle all that complex spring-back oscillation math.
That is wild.
But, you know, this entire architectural approach only works because, as we mentioned earlier, a terminal emulator is fundamentally simple.
Right. Which brings us to the massive plot twist of this whole project. So the developer got this working flawlessly on the vanilla JavaScript terminal site, right? Mm. And naturally, they thought, hey, I'm going to port this exact same effect over to my actual blog.
Yeah, located at nlog.xx.xyz. And that blog is a totally different beast. It's built with Next.js, which is a very powerful modern React framework.
So what happened?
Well, when they tried to use the exact same canvas extraction method here, it failed catastrophically.
Okay, see, this is where I need you to clarify something for me. Why would it fail? If the script can extract 5,000 characters from a terminal and paint them on a canvas, why can't it just extract a standard paragraph from a blog? I mean, isn't HTML just HTML at the end of the day?
Well, not quite. It goes a lot deeper than just the HTML tags. It's really about the visual rendering hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
A modern blog has sticky headers that stay attached to the top of your screen as you scroll.
Right, yeah.
It has UI elements using absolute positioning. It has variable fonts of different weights and sizes. And most importantly, it has complex Z layers.
Z layers?
Yeah, meaning elements are stacked on top of each other in three-dimensional space.
Oh, I see. So the terminal was essentially just a flat piece of paper.
Precisely. It's flat. When they tried to extract the rich layered architecture of a Next.js blog and flatten all of that onto a single 2D canvas, they lost all of that structural context. The canvas just spit out this garbled, overlapping mess of text.
Yep.
Plus, you lose all accessibility and interactivity. Text on a canvas can't be highlighted, you know, and links can't be clicked.
Couldn't they just keep the normal web page running underneath and, I don't know, put the canvas on top as a visual trick?
They actually tried that. The source notes show they attempted to hide the actual DOM elements while the canvas was active. They tried CSS visibility rules, opacity changes, even setting the text color to transparent.
Did any of it work?
None of it. Every single method broke the complex layout of the Next.js site in a totally different way. It caused containers to collapse or scroll bars would just jump wildly.
Okay, so the canvas extraction approach is just completely dead in the water for a complex layout.
Yeah.
How do you save the project? How do you shoot text with a machine gun crab if you can't actually move the text onto your physics canvas?
Well, you have to flip the relationship entirely. On the blog, they decided the canvas should remain completely transparent. The only things being drawn on the canvas are the orange bullet particles. Yeah, and the crab is kept as a fixed position HTML image element on top of the page. And the text itself. The text never leaves the DOM.
Wait, so if the text stays in the normal web page, how do the bullets interact with it?
So when a canvas bullet mathematically intersects with the space occupied by a text element, the code applies a localized CSS transform to that specific DOM element. The bullet physically pushes the actual HTML element away on the web page.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because if the terminal site was like an empty gymnasium where you can just bounce balls freely against the walls.
Right.
The Next.js blog is a fully furnished multi-story house. You can't just pretend the furniture isn't there by throwing a tarp over it. You actually have to let the ping pong balls bounce off the actual couch.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. And the UX benefit of this hybrid approach is massive. Because they kept the DOM intact, the page stays fully functional.
Even while it's exploding.
Yeah. While the bullets are flying and the text is bouncing around on its spring physics, you can still click the links. You can still view the images. The layout remains fundamentally correct. It's just, you know, experiencing temporary, localized chaos.
It's such an elegant pivot. But, you know, we need to bring in the real heavy hitter of this story. We haven't fully addressed how this was all built in just 6 hours. The stats in the source material are just staggering.
They really are.
Every single line of this affects Engine, over 900 lines of canvas physics and character extraction, totaling about 2,000 new lines of code across both sites. It was all written by Claude Code in a single session.
Yeah, Claude Code is an advanced AI coding agent. And what's remarkable here is how it actually functioned. It wasn't just generating random snippets of code in a chat window. It acted as an autonomous co-pilot following a highly structured workflow.
The developer broke down the AI's process into 5 distinct steps. Step 1 was research. And this wasn't just pulling from pre-trained knowledge.
Right, it was active.
Exactly. The AI subagent actively went out, fetched the API documentation for that original pretext library, and studied the exact physics formulas used in the explosive demo.
And because the AI could hold the entire structural map of the developer's local file system in its context window, it transitioned seamlessly to step 2, which was architecture.
Designing the whole overlay.
Yep. It analyzed the specific differences between the terminal site and the Next.js blog and planned out exactly how the DOM and the canvas would hand off information to each other.
Then we get step three, implementation, where it actually writes the JavaScript. But step four is where I think the magic really happens, which is iteration. Like we've talked about, an AI can spit out inverse square formulas instantly, but the browser integration is the messy part.
And that is the crucial insight from the developer here. The hard part of this project wasn't the physics. The math is well understood. The hard part was the browser edge cases. For instance, the AI had to tune the code to handle CSS specificity battles.
Oh man, let's define that for the listener, because it is a front-end nightmare. CSS specificity battles happen when the browser gets confused about which design rule is supposed to win out. Like when two different pieces of code tell a text block to do two different things at the exact same time.
Right, so if the blog's master style sheet says, hey, this header must always stay fixed at the top, but the crab's physics engine says, no, bounce this header off the wall, you get a conflict that usually just breaks the site.
So how did the AI fix it?
The AI had to surgically inject its CSS transforms with the exact right priority to override the blog's layout temporarily without permanently destroying it. It also had to map out mobile touch events so that, you know, just scrolling on your phone wouldn't accidentally fire a machine gun.
Good catch.
Yeah.
And finally, we have step five, porting. The AI completely re-engineered its own work from the vanilla JS canvas extraction method into that transparent next.js CSS transform method we just talked about.
And because having an AI handle all this complex integration was so incredibly fast, the developer had time to just keep expanding this whole Easter egg universe.
Yeah, the crab was just the beginning. They added a whole suite of these delightfully destructive features across the blog.
Oh, yeah. Like if you're reading a post and you click a postcard, the text of the card actually shatters and explodes right before the browser navigates to the new page.
And if you click a category tag in the tag cloud, all the other tags scatter away with this elastic bounce effect.
If you double-click a block of code, the characters shatter and then seamlessly reassemble themselves.
They even built in a physics-based confetti burst as a reward for finishing an article and scrolling all the way to the bottom. Mm. And of course, they included the classic Konami code.
Up, down, down, left, right, BA.
Type that on your keyboard while on the site, and it summons a permanent clawed crab that actually survives page reloads.
I love that so much. But, you know, they were also incredibly responsible about how they deployed all this chaos. All of these effects use dynamic importing. That means the heavy physics code doesn't load until you actually interact with it. It preserves the site's server-side rendering so it still loads instantly for new visitors.
And crucially, the code respects the prefers reduced motion settings in your operating system. If you have an older computer or if you are prone to motion sickness, the site detects that and degrades gracefully back to just a normal, static, perfectly readable blog.
If an AI can navigate the incredibly messy reality of browser DOM manipulation and CSS specificity, which is often considered the bane of front-end developers, what does that say about the current state of AI coding tools?
It's a huge shift. So if you're listening right now, why does all of this actually matter to you? This deep dive isn't just a story about a funny pixel crab with a machine gun. It's a testament to how AI tools are completely removing the friction between having a wild creative idea and actually shipping a finished product.
Right. For a long time, building custom physics-based interactions like this took so much time and debugging that it was hard to justify unless you were like an experimental design agency.
But this developer proved that the web can still be a whimsical, deeply interactive place. You don't need an entire month of free time to build a masterpiece. You just need a few hours, a capable AI agent, and a willingness to let things get a little chaotic.
And I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder. Think about the software you use every single day, your email, your spreadsheets, your boring corporate dashboards. If a developer can inject this level of joyful physics-based interaction into a blog in just 6 hours using AI, what's stopping all of our everyday boring text applications from hiding similar moments of delight, just waiting to be unlocked?
Just waiting for you to double click. That is all the time we have for this deep dive. Go out there and explore.